country like Canada that is very rich, where we could afford to feed, clothe, educate, house every single person in this country. Every single person could be fed, clothed, housed, and educated and not bankrupt the country. And yet instead we choose to take an approach that cuts out the resources from those who are most in need of the resources. So in prisons in particular, we don't see the prisons full of wealthy people. We don't see the prisons full of those who are most privileged. It's no accident that it's those who are most marginalized who are most likely to end up in prison. And so not a big surprise that those who are, if you take the intersection of those levels of marginalization, are poor, indigenous, women with mental health issues, we see more and more of them in the prison system and more of them disenfranchised. We see prison as the absolutely failed experiment of this century and several centuries, and we see increasing numbers of mandatory minimum sentences being introduced. So at the very time that other places like the United States and jurisdictions that have retreated from mandatory minimum sentences are retreating and recognizing that they were, even if only for economic reasons, are retreating from those positions, they are. And in fact, we're headed headlong into that train wreck, and it will take probably decades to undo the damage that is being done now. And when I say damage, I mean human and social costs, but also the fiscal realities that we could be investing the massive resources that are spent on the state machine of detaining and incarcerating people on providing, you know, adequate social services, guaranteed livable incomes, appropriate and adequate health care. We could be ensuring that the reserves, 180-some reserves in this country that don't even have drinkable water, have schools, have all the resources they need. And instead, we're continuing to just literally flush away people as though they are human refuse.